Hello, fellow travelers, and welcome to the First in the Stars podcast. Today's special guest is Alex Garfin. You know him as Jordan Kent on Superman and Lois, now on the CW. Now come join me as we go traversing the stars. Hello, Mr. Garfin. Welcome to the Traversing the Stars podcast.
Good to be here.
It's definitely a pleasure to talk with you. I had a pleasure doing it once before, and I'm so happy to have you back on.
Happy to be back on, above the earth.
Yes, we're traversing the stars, as you can see. Well, as Jordan, you can actually be flying amongst them. We should have an image of you flying across these backgrounds.
Oh yeah, that's some top-notch green screen right there.
Oh, most certainly. So Superman and Lois is kicking so much ass right now. I mean, the first season was really good. The second season is killing it. So I mean, how does it feel to know and have the security of knowing your show is not only doing well, but it's been embraced, and the second season is killing it as well? I mean, that must be really nice for the ego right there.
You know, the ego and the nerves, I suppose. You know, I was coming into this quite green, or it's a set term. I sound like one of those Hollywood. It's a set term, you wouldn't get it. No, I was coming into this quite new. I was also coming in as an original character. There was a lot of nerves there that people wouldn't accept it. I also knew that, you know, Jordan would be the one with powers in these, you know, starting at the pilot there. And I know in the comic book, Jonathan had the powers. So, you know, I was nervous people wouldn't want to accept that. I was nervous that people would be too attached to the idea of Jonathan having powers, even though I believe my character, there was some inspiration from Jonathan in him as well. It's good to see it embraced by the community. It's good to feel like what we're doing up here is working. Although I, you know, besides what I was doing and what's behind my eyes, everything in front of me I could tell would be a success. You know, the writing was incredible, and my fellow actors are incredible, and Jordan Elsass is my best friend, and you know, it's good to feel like their work is being recognized as well.
Well, since you're in year two of embodying Jordan, do you feel more confident in what decisions you're making in playing the character? And what is the impact on that confidence going forward in being Jordan for the second year?
I mean, my confidence as an actor playing Jordan, you know, personally, everyone's confidence wavers at point to point, but I don't think it was ever at a point where I didn't know who he was or anything. His confidence as a person, Jordan's confidence, as in the character, is obviously greatly increased. We all knew that was going to be the arc, I believe, since I got the role. You know, season one, he'd be kind of in this rough place, and then slowly he'd kind of dig himself out. And then, you know, he faced some adversity with Sarah in the beginning of season two, and he didn't really know how to deal with it. And Sarah certainly didn't know really how to deal with it either. And we see him kind of in this spot that's super alone. Episode 9 is a really interesting episode for him. You see him for the first time in his life not let the adversity overcome him. Yeah. You know, back in Metropolis, his mom was his only friend. He would stay in his room all day. You know, he really just lived this really mad, miserable existence. And, you know, he's constantly bullied as well. So episode 9, he doesn't know where his dad is. Doesn't know if his dad's coming back. And it's been a month. And all of a sudden, for the first time in his life, he says, know what? I'm going to do something. Yeah. I'm going to go out there. If no one else is going to save Sarah's dad, they will, you know, the girl also just, you know, cheated on me and did all this stuff. No one else is going to go save her dad. I will. You know, Steel was late. I was there. And Lois tries to stop him, and he goes, no. And, you know, that's kind of this heartbreaking moment as well. It's that Lois wants to be his mother, and he's slowly becoming more of an adult. And Lois tries to recognize that, but it's hard.
I mean, I think it's being played so well. And I do wonder if the confidence he's gaining by learning how to use these powers is sort of the same confidence. Maybe, I don't know, confidence is quite the right word, but let's go with confidence for now, because that's the word I came up with, to give him the confidence to, in many ways, to handle his relationship with Sarah, which, once again, there seems to be a correlation between his confidence as a hero and his confidence now as a man.
I do think that correlation is great. It's a good one that you pointed out. A lot of times powers in the show can be perceived as metaphor. Mm-hmm. I constantly think of that. You know, a lot of Jordan stuff is just about growing up, gaining that confidence, and gaining the ability to control a situation. His powers aren't as strong when he's not as confident. When he wants to really do something, he's able to do it.
Mm.
You know, Sarah starts to falter. But I do think it is worth noting at the end of episode 9, he comes to his mother's side. And even though he's quite nervous, he's willing to try to face this new threat that just came in from Bizarro World. That's certainly a change. That even though Sarah just dumped him, he's wanting to protect his mom.
Now, there's one interesting line that is in that episode, and I kind of want you to expand on it just a little bit, because it sounds, it's a very carefully chosen line. His mother is trying to tell him that she says, "I'm your mother," about going and being a superhero, right? And he says, "I'm the one with powers." Now, once again, that's an important statement about being the man and having the responsibility. Is there potentially an applied threat there? Or was that not intended?
You know, I read it, Kate. Oh man, one of our lovely writers, Katie Aldrin, I believe, wrote that scene in particular. Her and Jay Jameson wrote the whole episode. There is a threat to continue. I don't know if it's a threat against Lois. That's kind of how I played it.
Mm.
It was more of a matter of fact statement than anything else, though. Well, regardless of the implication, the intention was, I'm the one with powers, you're not, and you can't stop me. It's exactly what it meant. And the director of that episode, who was fantastic, Ian Samoyle, he understood that as well.
Now, once again, that line as well, and that whole sequence, seems to be a potential seismic shift in the relationship between Lois and Jordan, because taken as it is, he is saying, you can't stop me. I am now past the point where you have control over my life now. And we do know in some earlier episodes that Lois does show how strong she is of a character and as a mother. Now, how seismic of a shift in this relationship is this? And is there a way to go back? Or would it be wrong for Jordan to go backwards and go back to the standard mother-child? You know, you live under my rules, as she said, you do what I tell you.
I think that it's kind of symbolized in the wine little thing at the end when she offers him some wine. Honestly, I mean, there will come a point in a mother-son relationship in which the son and the mother have to respect each other as adults. You know, as a little kid, you see your parents, they're so big. You know what I mean? You see them as your heroes and your world. And then as a teenager, all of a sudden you see them as their villain. And by the time you reach adulthood, you realize it's neither one of those things, and you see them as a human. And you see them just trying and doing the best they can. That respect needs to come from both sides, and it's something that is turbulent and definitely made a progression there. You know, there's certainly now a newfound respect for Jordan, I think, from Lois, just from that.
And I think another interesting part about the idea of responsibility and adulthood, and I really like how season 2 really is Jordan's journey. I mean, you're growing up in front of your fans, viewers on the show right now for season 2. And there's a part of it as well that discusses whether or not Jordan should tell Sarah his secret, which, spoiler for any fan watching the show, for the last episode 9, that's what causes the breakup between Sarah and Jordan, is this secret that he can't share because his father, and very much the mother, is very strongly saying, don't do it. He seems to feel that is his right as an adult to make the decision himself. I'm an adult, I'm old enough to tell someone if I have powers or not. That's my decision, that's me as an individual, but it obviously cost him Sarah to not do it. So how does that connect to his growth as a responsible adult? As the actor, where do you fall as well? So both questions.
So, you know, the interesting thing is one of the things I've realized and have said about this season in particular in Jordan growing up is when you're a kid, you think maturity is all about getting over things. Right? You think it's like, I'm mature. I forgive you. Well, you know, that's kind of the case, but it's the harder thing to do in some situations. But real maturity is having that wisdom and you know, and that emotional intelligence to know when something's hurting you and it's hurting other people as well.
Mm.
You see Jordan in the beginning kind of get over Sarah kissing someone else, but he still feels weird and all of that crazy stuff that's going on because he doesn't really know what's hurting himself.
Yeah.
And you also see him hurt himself by hurting his parents and all of that in the previous season. Now, back over to your point, him revealing that secret, I think part of emotional maturity is, again, realizing, yes, it would be good for me, but everyone around you needs to be implicated in that secret. And so it's easy to play that intention. And it was a gift from the writers to me as an actor, I really think, that I get to play the intention of, I want to tell her that secret. And as a character, I feel that. But stepping back from it as Alex, maybe not the best decision. Consider it also like, it's such a teenage relationship. I mean, she didn't really cheat on me. She kissed someone else at summer camp.
Yeah.
And that caused all these waves. I would have done that too as like a 14-year-old. As a 14-year-old finding out your girlfriend kissed someone else, oh my God. It is heartbreaking.
Yeah.
But then again, him reacting in that 14-year-old, 15-year-old way probably shows that he shouldn't be too loose with his secret.
Yeah, and I think interesting thing is that he mentions earlier, I can't remember which episode, to his father when they had that argument, basically, like, I'm going to marry Sarah. We're going to be together forever. Now, she just dumped his ass, like, in season 9 about the secret. Is that a signal that maybe this wasn't to be forever, necessarily forever, because if something like that can break it so easily, doesn't sound like it's permanent. At least not to me.
Never forever, never just kind of doing some Rick Astley for us all. You know, we got a Rick roll. Never gonna give you up. Yeah, I mean, like, I don't write the show, obviously. But it's natural to expect that him and Sarah will continue to ebb and flow. You know, who knows? Maybe they'll never talk again. You'll just have to watch and find out. Next episode is crazy, by the way.
Next episode,
it gets bizarre.
Really?
It's bizarre.
We get Jordan Bizarro? Is that the hint? Or
All I can say is it gets bizarre.
All right, well, hypothetically speaking, how cool would it be to play the Bizarro version of Jordan? If that were to happen, which I'm not saying it is.
I don't really know what I'd do. But I'd have to figure it out, to be honest. It'd be cool, though. It'd be cool to play a new character. I mean, you know, we see at the episode of 209, this other version of Jonathan coming through. I know that Jordan certainly has had a blast doing some of that stuff. I had a lot of fun playing Zeta Rope, you know, just last year. It was fun to be possessed. It was fun to try to make every movement non-human. I tried to make every little tiny, like, blink of an eye not feel like I belonged in that body, which was super fun. And Tom Cavanaugh, who directed that episode, was so much fun to work with. I love that man.
Well, now that you're a veteran, season 2 star of the one of the stars of the show, how much more confident are you to go to the writers and director and say, I want this for the character, or this may not be working for the character? Or has the door always been open like that? Or have
the
you
writer's room is extremely collaborative, and especially in comparison to other shows. They're certainly open to ideas to pitch. Whether or not I would want to do something, you know, if it's a cool story idea, for sure I'll throw it out there. But I have full faith in the writers here to not screw anything up or anything like that. I mean, they're so smart. I mean, I don't know how many writers you've interviewed in your time, but the ones on this show are just wickedly intelligent.
Yeah.
So honestly, I would be scared if any of my ideas even got through where to pitch them, because I know they could be as good as the ones that those guys are.
That is awesome.
No.
Yeah. So in season two, though, when in playing this character, what have you learned new about him as a person that has informed yourself going forward with the character?
You know, I think I've learned a lot about Jordan as a person. I just know who he is, if that makes any sense.
Yeah.
It also doesn't sound too ethereal. I'm just ethereal and quirky. I know who he is very intimately now. I know if I know a character, if I'm able to have a full conversation with him in my head. Yeah. And I'm able to have a full conversation with Jordan. I could have a conversation with Jordan for hours. Just me and the people in my head. What can I say?
You know, I don't think I ever heard that acting method before. It's just multiple personality disorder. I never knew as an acting technique. Or just dissociative disorder, as they call it now. But hey, if it works.
I know what he's thinking. Mm. If that makes any sense.
Right, right.
Intimately now, which is great. Again, I get to play this character for a long time. I want to continue playing this character. I feel so lucky and blessed that they keep writing for me in the capacity that they have. I know that I was very new to this show, new coming in, even just acting wise.
Yeah.
Lee Tolan Krieger was incredible. And he really taught me a lot about just anything to get the performance on camera.
Mm.
So I'm very grateful for this opportunity. I'm very grateful for all of it.
Well, I think another cool thing that's going on with your characters is that the relationship between you and the character of Jonathan has also changed a lot in season two, because they had the idea where Jonathan has his powers, and they really kind of seem to show that maybe Jonathan has this like inner jealousy about these powers. You know, it's being like more direct and open about the fact that he kind of, I don't know if the right word is resent, but I think he resents Jordan just a little bit by being a little more special, which is, you know?
Yeah, I mean, you know, the interesting thing, I think Jonathan might be one of the most interestingly written characters in the show. And I think Jordan Elsass is doing a great job playing him. Again, I love Jordan. He's my best friend. I could never say anything bad about the guy. but I think Jordan Elsass is doing a wonderful job playing him. Yeah, I mean, Jonathan, from where I stand anyway, I don't play him or anything. Inside, there's not a resentment. There's just the feeling of, like, I don't belong here.
Mm.
Is what I've seen anyway. I'm just a viewer like you with Jonathan. Yeah, maybe I've seen a couple more episodes, but I don't play him. I don't have the inside outlook. But, I mean, we have to remember where they were in Metropolis. And that's something that would be really cool if they ever showed, just flashbacks to them in Metropolis, even though I think we look quite a lot older now. Jonathan had all these friends. He was the star of the football team. He had great grades. And, you know, the mom and dad, they loved him a lot. And they always knew what to do for him. They always knew how to make him happy. And Jordan just was confused and sad and didn't know what was going on with his life and felt like something was wrong with him. A lot of what he felt was wrong with him, I'm sure, was powers also manifesting internally as well. But now that Jonathan all of a sudden is just this normal kid and all the extraordinary things are happening around him, it must be jarring. It must be crazy not to be the one at the center of it all, feeling good. You know, feels good to feel good.
How concerned is Jordan about Jonathan, you think?
I don't think there's that much concern.
Okay.
They're young, so I don't know. Their empathy skills obviously need a lot of work, as does everyone's, as does mine. So I think, I think Jordan's empathy skills, Jordan's empathy skills, as does everyone's at that age, could be stronger than they are, even though he's quite an empathetic person. I don't think there's very much concern for Jonathan on Jordan P. I mean, you see him kind of tease him about the drug thing. It's like, it's not, you know what I mean? Like, they got each other's backs. They know each other. They're twins. Like, it's not like, oh, you were doing drugs. oh my God. I mean, there was like an initial reaction, like, bro, stop doing it. Okay, it's enough. It's enough. Like, okay, that's kind of stupid. But as soon as the parents found out all this crap, and I mean, he's working at the supermarket, you know, you see him kind of going and start teasing him, like, okay, was it wallets? Who was it? Like, they're like, I got your back. Of course, man. Of course, I'd never tell mom and dad. Just want to look out for you. You know, and also all the danger that's coming towards that family, constantly hurtling at that family, you know.
Oh, certainly. And the cool thing is that Jordan has got to do some action scenes in season two. You're getting the characters being trained by his grandfather. He just kicks some ass with some bad guys, drug dealers kind of people. How fun has it been? How much training have you had to go through now to prepare for the physical aspects of it? And I guess lastly on that part, you got to also do the Superman pose, flying pose, when you're saving, can't remember the character's name, but you're saving him in the drug dealers, in the fire. How cool is this for you right now?
Oh, man. Well, I found out that all this super stuff was going to go on last year, mid-year. Someone actually took me off. And I went up to the head of stunts. I was like, look, someone took me off, just on the down low. I'm a scrawny theater kid. I don't know how to work the gym equipment. And I start working the gym equipment pretty quickly. And so he started training me. So Rob Hader, incredible man, taught me how to use all the gym equipment last year. And then I started training with Kirk Jakes, who's one of the best in the world at just being a trainer. And, you know, the thing about it is that we have on call this guy, Kirk, who is literally a world-class martial artist, one of the best in film, yeah, in total. I mean, you know, on call, we got this guy. And he's willing to train the actors whenever they want. So I'm like, of course I'm going to do it. I work a lot in this show, but I try to do it two or three times, like, a week. I mean, like, it's like, are you kidding me? I get to do this. And also, I get to commit to this character in a way that I have really been wanting to. Every time I'm at the gym, I mean, I don't really, you know, I'm again, at heart, I'm still that scrawny theater kid. But I get, it's, to me, it's just part of the role. It's getting to, like, transform for this role, and it's getting to learn how to fight for this role. And it is awesome. I keep working on, I just did a double session this morning. I stayed for two classes. I love when I get to commit to myself, like, something like that, you know? Yeah.
I mean, you got to get into that nice sparring match with Jonathan's, Ken's character. And that must have been one fun scene to shoot for both of you, beating the crap out of each other.
It was fun. I mean, that you're talking about the one in the cellar?
Yeah, with the grandfather, yes. And they have to fight each other.
That one was really fun. You know, that was, at that point in my training, I feel like, it was earlier on, so I was just really getting to the point where I was good enough to go in by myself. One of my favorite moments shooting, period, was episode 8, 208. You know, they were going to use the doubles for that fight out with the drug dealer on the car. And I was like, look, I've been training, and I feel confident. And I think they've known to trust me in my word with stuff like that, because I will tell them when I'm not. And I want this show to be the best possible. I don't want what's best for me. I want what's best for this team here. And so they recognize that, I believe, and they put me in. And I was a little nervous. I mean, you know, I did put myself out there. And we did three takes, and we could have used all three. And I was just so happy. And Rob Hader, he bowed very low, which is a sign of respect. And man, I was just jumping up. I ran over to the weeds next door, and I was just jumping up and down. No one was it's so rare in Hollywood you get one of those experiences. You don't get a report card. You know, you're acting. You got a lot of people, if you want to be judged, there's plenty of people online, but they will just be rude no matter what you do. So it's rare you get a point of success or failure in your job. And that was a moment where I had that moment, and it came out successful. I'll remember it for the rest of my life.
So what do you want for Jordan going forward? Like, if you could plan, if you're put in charge, you know, Mr. Garfin, you're now the, you know, in charge of the show going forward, what do you want Jordan's character? What do you want to see happen with him?
You know, I want to see him grow out his hair. past his ass. Okay? And then the hair is flipping around like Fabio as he's flying through the air. All right. I want to see him. I want to see him start to build stuff. Right? I feel like if you have super speed, why are you going outside of super speed? I want to see him. And I'm about to get a round of applause here. All right. I want to see him go around. And I want to see him start using ice breath. I want to see him start using ice breath to cure climate change. Finally, he should be working. He should be out there working.
That's a good point. Why didn't Superman actually help the big problems, right?
Oh, come on. Come on. Camera's but, knocking over, the organ's going.
Well, I mean, like I said, it's such a cool character that you've got, and I think we all want to see him. Well, at least I do wonder, is he going to go the costume route now? Like, are we going to now see Superboy, full costume Superman, flying out there, rescuing people in the Arctic, maybe for global climate change, whatever, but is he going to go full superhero?
If he ever were, I want the underwear on the outside of the pants. That's all I have to say.
Keep it classic, right?
If I ever did, I want red underwear, bright red underwear on the outside of the pants. The Kryptonians got a little backwards out there. they were wearing the underwear on the outside of the pants. We're lucky that they didn't go with the traditional Kryptonian look, which is in a bikini as well, right? You'd wear the bikini top. As much as we all would love to see Tyler in a bikini top, I mean.
So what can listeners look forward to in the next episodes of Superman and Lois? And so are we definitely now going to see the apparently Wonder on the outside? You got to talk to Tyler about that and make that happen.
I you know what? I'm all in. Underwear on the outside, all in. I'm just joking around. I don't know anything. They don't tell me anything. I just say my lines and study my scripts. But next couple episodes. Episode 10 is crazy. It's like, it's honestly like unbelievable. I think it's like the biggest episode we've done so far. It's like, it's just insane. There's a reason it's taken so long as well. So just look out for episode 10. Enjoy the rest of the season. Season 2 is slow start, and the slow start is really good. I love all the family drama stuff. And then the super stuff just takes over. It's really good.
And then we're going to hear about season 3, I hope, shortly, right?
We already know. Season 3 is in the works. It's coming around. Don't know when it will start. Can't tell you when it will start anyway. That would probably be more the correct and honest answer. Season 3.
Well, Mr. Garfin, it was an absolute pleasure to talk with you again. You are awesome. I did not know you played the piano or organ, but...
Yeah, I got it. Well, I got it right here. There it goes. Well, actually, this time.
I think we're definitely going to see Jordan then play the piano in one episode at super speed.
Oh, yeah. Gotta learn some drills. I'll be going like I would really be going, you know, yeah, I don't even know what it would sound like. I can't see the speed in real life. That's the best of many people.
Well, Mr. Garfin, it's a pleasure. I look forward to talking to you again, hopefully for season 3, and thank you for coming.
Thank you for having me.
Totally my pleasure, sir. Have a very great night.
You too.